right.
Oh, look at this. Only 3 minutes late.
The one who should be here first is here last.
Right. Then you have to spend 7 minutes setting everything up, setting the windows.
Seven? Shit. We won't start this podcast till at least not 45 at the earliest. He didn't say anything because
he's like a little Anzalone.
He's working.
He's like an Anzalone.
He's like Anzalone.
And there's your cold open.
Hey, you're laughing a little too hard.
The Dome Patrol United Network presents the Dome Patrol Podcast.
All right, what is up, Who Dat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast, part of the Dome Patrol Podcast United Network family of podcasts on the internet. I'm your host, Jeff, and I am not drunk, but I'm actually drinking a Truly because I need to finish them. These are not good, by the way.
They're definitely not.
They're not, but I spent money on them. I tried them out. I didn't like
people
them.
Love gonna, them. People
I'm
going
to finish them.
My wife loves them.
Truly lemonades are better than Truly regular. I will give them that. But nothing beats a good old vodka and Crystal Light squirts. So the Saints have made several roster and contract changes in the last week. We'll discuss those and perhaps maybe we'll I don't want to steal Dave Romero's thunder. He's going to do kind of, I think, his own maybe a Twitter video he's going to try and maybe do on the internal debate or discussion that we've been having about can you build or how do you build a winning team in today's salary cap / high price player situation. So maybe we'll tease that a little bit if we get to it. But in the meantime, this one's predominantly going to be Saints stuff. So put your hands inside your seatbelts and keep your seatbelts inside your ear pods and get your iPods inside your listening devices and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
That must be quite the squirt there, huh?
This Truly's got me all mixed up, man.
Right. I'll go with a 1.5. Drinking the last bit of whiskey I have in my house.
All right.
Looking forward to talk Saints, talk a little WandaVision at the end. Should be fun.
Yeah. All right. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I do not have a number. I feel bad right now because I'm kind of watching the LSU game right now on my iPad, and they hit a ball to shortstop. They overthrew the first baseman, and the ball hit the first base coach right in the nuts. So that can't feel good. I'm better than him. I'm doing better than he is.
All right.
No, other than that, I'm doing good.
No number. Being good tonight.
No number. Yes.
Okay. I thought we waited to do this at nighttime because, like, Dome Patrol after dark, everybody's always doing something.
Well, now you're going to Gun, so Gun's making up for all of us.
I've heard your show, Gun. I know what you're doing. What's your number?
I'm over here living this alcohol-free lifestyle, man. But I definitely got a decimal point tonight, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Got
a prescription for that?
Well, yeah. Yes. It's my birthright. It's called my birth certificate.
There you go.
I'm drinking some Milo's tea with Splenda, the yellow label Milo's. It's the best.
Okay.
Good stuff.
So last week we had a big conversation on Popeyes. Maybe this week we'll talk about various tea flavors. But before we do that, we do have some Saints news to talk about. So let's get into some overanalyze this. All right, let's talk about some moves. So the big one, the headline, the one that caused a big stir all across the Who Dat Nation, Thomas Morstead was cut last week. Was it Thursday or Friday of last week? Let's go ahead and spend maybe 30 minutes on it. Jason?
I thought you were going to mention we re-signed Dwayne Washington. I thought that was the big one.
That one, no. Or Ty Montgomery.
Oh, yeah. Hey, he came up big in week 17 this year.
I'm not upset about that. But no, seriously, Morstead's the lead story here. Let's talk about him. I know, Jason, you wanted to do an episode dedicated solely to Thomas Morstead. So I'm going to give you the floor first.
Of course. I mean, when you have the greatest punter in Saints history, I feel like you have to devote a lot of time to this guy. He made the greatest kick in Saints history, possibly.
Yeah. Or the most memorable.
Referring to ambush.
Right. Most I think the most.
You don't agree?
I mean, you could argue Hartley's field goal in the NFC title game.
That's what I was.
I kind of feel like the one in the Super Bowl trumps it because it's a more important game, and it was also the turning point of the game.
It was the turning point of the entire game.
You wouldn't have been there if he hadn't kicked the field goal.
Okay, but you're there, then you still have to win the game, and you have to execute the kick.
Okay, I know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
He was a rookie, and he was a fucking rookie when he did this.
Right? Nobody even knew his name.
I mean, we did, but you know.
So, okay, he makes ambush. That goes just, in. That's the bronzer. Is that the bronze statue next to Steve Gleason? Is that it? Like the Supernome's just going to be surrounded by special team? Is JT Gray going to have a sponsor, a statue one day around the dome?
How did we not have a Tom Dempsey statue up? Considering that was our
record last.
That was the Saints' claim to fame for so long. Just Dempsey's kick.
Yep.
Maybe all of our statues surrounding the Superdome can just be of special teams players.
That's what I just
said. Yeah. So like Morstead,
Gleason,
Tyrone Hughes,
Michael Lewis,
Michael Beerman Lewis.
Yeah, he can have like a case of Bud Light, and that's where they should sell the Bud Light for tailgate purposes.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
We kind of got a little down a rabbit hole on, we've now decided that all statues around the Superdome must be of special teams players. So Gleason's already there. So we're good. Now there is a non-special teams player already around the dome, isn't there? Or is Gleason the only statue? There's no other player. Okay.
Dave Dixon, I believe, is up there. And Tom Benson.
Okay. So then, yeah, like we can put a Morstead for the Super Bowl
ambush.
We said we can put Michael, the beer man, Lewis.
Set up a beer stand.
Set up a beer stand. Maybe JT Gray, because he was just got another 2 years on his contract. I don't know.
Yes.
Who else?
But
Brian Milne?
Ooh. Very good.
First playoff victory.
Well, we should put Hakeem up there.
He'll be a part of the thing. You know how like Gleason has got like the...
Yeah, that's true.
He'll be like Michael Kanan.
Right.
Yeah, but you need to put like Hakeem on the back of his jersey, like so everybody knows that it's...
Well, that was the deal with the Gleason statue. The Saints wanted to put Michael Kanan's name on the back of the jersey. The Falcons said no.
Imagine that. Right. And why do we care what they want?
But in all seriousness, with Morstead, we all kind of figured it was coming. I mean, he's been on the team for 12 years, but just the in addition to his play on the field, the way that he took to the New Orleans community, and he's a New Orleans guy for life now. And obviously that goes a lot into it.
Yeah. So Martin Wilmot is on the live stream. Chris Farmer says greetings on the live stream. Chris Farmer, you should have like one of the top fans, the icons next to your name. I don't know.
We should do like a fan of the month or something.
Well, Facebook does a thing where they put a little diamond next to you if you're a top
talking
fan.
About actually doing something. He could send in a photo of him in a Saints jersey, and we could stick it out there.
Maybe the Dome Patrol fan of the month. One day he can call in.
Get him it's on not the like he knows spot. Anybody on the show.
I mean, he would have to win pick'ems to do that, I think.
Oh, we did set a precedent.
Yep. So, okay. What else about Morstead? You said, okay, so community guy, ambush, greatest punter.
It's so talented.
Tommy Barnhart.
NFL's a business. And at the end of the day, that business piece of it's always going to reign supreme. And when you're in this kind of salary cap or climbing out of the kind of salary cap hole the Saints are in, you just don't have the luxury of a $4 million a year punter.
He was the highest paid punter in the league.
Yeah, I mean, just, we can't. I'm sorry. I mean, love him to death. I hope he signs back. I hope we re-sign him at a, you know, team-friendly deal, and we do a handshake agreement to take care of him, and he continues to be in the New Orleans community, and he plays a role in the community and the organization when his playing career is over. And who's to say his playing career is over? I mean, I think his on-field play warrants – I'd still like him on the team next year as a Saints fan, as someone who loves the Saints, because I think he brings value on the field. But that $4 million price tag at the end of the day being a business decision, that just won't fly.
Hey, do you have any concerns about – he did have a noticeable drop in performance this year.
Yeah, but he's still good.
He said it was due to injury. He said it was due to injury, and there was two things, injury and something else. I can't think
of what it was. Distraction because he was opening businesses and having a family and doing social media and not as focused on football.
Maybe it was two different injuries. I think he said he had back issues and something else. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could definitely affect – his play for sure, because you know
it also affect your ability to sign a contract. A team that may look at it and say, look, I mean, if I'm not going to pay $4 million for an injured punter,
I mean, he goes and works out with the team, he's kicking the ball well, you know, he'll get on a team.
Yeah
he's still got a lot left, and as much as I would still love to have him come back to the team, they appear to be moving on with the new guy, and you're not going to have two punters on the roster.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, he's too good to not get a job somewhere else, though.
What about the way they told him? Because I thought there was a little bit of a stink about that, that some people felt like they owed him more than, a phone call while on his way to the bachelor party.
By the way,
you might want to pay a little extra for.
I don't think it was on the way to the bachelor party. He did a press conference on the way to the bachelor party, but from what I read, he found out, I guess, ahead of time, and him and his wife went to the Saints facility and told bye to everybody at the facility.
Okay, like, so everybody from the what they said it was
secretary to the janitor to the, you know, the guys who take care of the locker room. Like, they went through and told everybody thank you and goodbye. So, you know, they might have initially told him via
Mike Ornstein.
They might have.
Was he there?
No, I hope not.
I hope
they might have.
Right,
they
might have.
Ornstein was out procuring the strippers for the bachelor party.
He was at the bachelor party. He was actually already in Vegas.
I think they might have called him or something like that to initially tell him about it. Maybe they did it over the phone, and maybe that's why. But it wasn't like while he was on the way.
Which might be how they did everything. You know what I mean? It's not like they disrespected him. It's just that's the way the gun to gun's point. This is a business. This is how they do things.
Right.
They're going to bring every player in and tell them you're cutting them to their face.
Right. I mean, with COVID and stuff, too, you know, there might be, I mean, only, you know, seedy people can get in there. You know, people who shouldn't be there.
CD like CD dues or CD like
CD? Yeah, that one.
Like, as long as they didn't do it by post-it note, we're good.
You broke it with me on a post-it?
What's that from?
Honestly, it's from Sex and the City.
No, it was from something else, right?
It was from Sex and the City.
I'm probably going to
hook up. Romy and Michelle's high school reunion, they invented
that
the post-it.
Invented
post-it. Right. They invented the post-it. Post-it. Yep, I think that was the initial. But I remember the joke from
somewhere else. Got a stack of post-it notes here.
Ooh, look at you.
And they're actually Post-it brand. Look at that. Sponsored by Post-it.
There you go.
Product placement.
Springing for the big bucks.
Get my free. I got this one pack for free so that we'd mention them on the show.
So anyway, we're moving on from Orsted. No huge shock, but.
All right. And speaking of moving on, let's move on to the next player. It was Big Nuts Lutz. Actually, though, Morstead's other half was restructured. Is that the right thing? They restructured him to keep him a little longer?
Sure, among others.
Yeah, but with Lutz, it was a restructure. And then some other people, it was like Marcus Williams, for example. He got tagged.
Okay, he got tagged, but we restructured other guys too. Yeah, that was a big one.
All right, so yeah, we'll come back to Marcus Williams. So yeah, let's maybe stay. Oh, here's another fun one. Jared Cook was cut.
Good.
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
Thank God. I think we all saw that one coming. I think we're all happy about that.
I was kind of surprised that that Hill got cut, although I think he may end up back on the team eventually at some point.
You knew it had to crush Sean Payton to cut
Taysom Hill. Hill was cut?
No, not Taysom.
You got to clarify these things. Which Hill?
I can't think of his first name, so that's why I'm not saying it.
So which
Josh Hill. Josh Hill.
What makes you think he'll be back? Just the fact that nobody else is going to want him?
Well, he knows the system. He's a great blocker. He can catch every now and then, like, and Peyton loves him, like they said.
Right? So, Peyton can't quit him.
So
can't.
It wouldn't surprise me if once the dust settles and they get people extended and they get under the cap and they get a free agent or something, that they bring him back at some point for like a minimum deal or something.
All right, any parting words for Jared Cook? Where does he land?
On his ass, hopefully.
It makes me feel good and feel confident about the folks that we have running the Saints now, as opposed to back in our horrible years. Because cutting Jared Cook was a no-brainer, obvious things to do. But doesn't it seem like there would have been a time back in the Saints past where like they would have franchised Jared Cook this offseason? You know, like that seems like that's what we would have done.
Parker Golzer is going to the XFL.
back when we were moron run, it's like,
Bill Koharik.
Koharik would have franchised Cook.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Maybe he'll end up in that league where the fans call the plays.
Bro, he's a wind up on the fucking Howard Stern show, Beetlejuice looking motherfucker. Yeah.
Isn't that where he started?
Yes.
All right, we talked about Ty Montgomery got his extension. Other restructures, notable Cam Jordan last week and DeMario Davis both restructured. Was that last week or a long time ago?
They both did it together last week. Onyemata did it too.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this is what Loomis does.
I'm thrilled DeMario's coming back. I'm thrilled. That would have been huge if that didn't happen. I'm very, very happy. That I think that almost feels like it's been underreported. You know, the significance of DeMario coming back and restructuring like that.
I mean, we did just give him a night, like an extension, but an extension at a good value to us. Like he's, for as good as he is, I believe he's underpaid.
Oh, yeah. He's being,
and then he restructured again.
Yeah. I mean, it's just converting stuff to a sign and bonus. They get more money up front. It spreads, ghost years. That's what
I'm hoping that we can pull something out of the hat and get Quan Alexander back too.
I hope so too.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, then let's bring up Anzalone and the little Twitter episode. Was it earlier today or yesterday that Anzalone or somebody made a tweet about Anzalone wanting to go somewhere that he's going to be appreciated? And then somebody with a fake Lattimore account or something. What was that, Scott?
Said you sucked anyway or something like that.
Basically, like Anzalone. And I guess, like, for me, Anzalone was never like a bad linebacker. He just couldn't stay healthy, and B, the defense did noticeably get better when he left and Quan came in. And then when Quan got hurt, he came back in. The defense noticeably got a little as good. I think Anzalone is a good linebacker on many teams, but we're not looking for good. We need great. We need something great next to DeMario so that we can have a lights out defense, especially next year when we don't have Drew Brees.
And it makes you think, you know, if Quan doesn't come back, do they move Bond into that spot or what do? They pick up a free agent? Do they draft? They're going to have to fill that spot some kind of way.
I kind of think they end up drafting a linebacker with their first round pick. That's what I think.
I think there's work for us, though.
I mean,
I don't know if I like that.
I mean, I know we had talked about like a show or two ago. It's like, well, what position do you think? I mean, maybe it's either receiver or linebacker. I think it's a position we got to draft for round one because I don't want Mac Jones at 28.
You don't think cornerback?
I mean,
what about an interior offensive lineman from the Big Ten?
I don't want any more offensive linemen. Not in the first round.
That was a joke.
They definitely need to draft an offensive lineman this year, I believe. I think 100% they do. Maybe not in the first.
Not the first.
No, not in the first. They can find a guy. But
all right. So current linebackers, free agent wise, Neville Hewitt.
Okay, Jeff, I don't want Jeff to go through the three linebackers. Well, yeah, there's a bunch of different linebackers. I think they'll address Josh linebacker Hines, in the draft.
AJ Johnson, Kyle Van Noy.
I don't think they're gonna and maybe we say this every year and they prove us wrong, but I just can't see them throwing out huge bucks to a free agent signing.
Craig Robertson.
That's not one of their own.
Craig Robertson's a free agent.
I hope that we have some money to play with in free agency, but I think it's going to be about,
let's just bring back Quant.
Yeah. I mean, locking down the guys that we have and guys like Quan that are going to be unrestricted. And it'll be quite a feat just to keep things largely intact.
So you hold on.
Yeah. If you can keep pretty much intact what you had, you don't really need to add much to it. Mm-mm. As far as in free agency. Mm-mm. You know, maybe bring in a veteran tight end to replace Cook, but other than that,
I don't even know that you need to do that. I'm okay with
cutting Hill. Troutman's the only guy. We need somebody.
Yeah, we only have one person.
They're gonna have to get tight ends.
Okay.
Yeah, they're gonna have to get tight ends.
I just don't see us.
I thought we did have another random name tight end.
Darnell Dinkins.
Yeah, Taysom Hill.
I just don't see us throwing out a lot of money for free agency. I think we bring in some vet minimum guys, and I think you're going to see a lot of that because of the drop salary cap. Other teams are going to be dropping guys. Guys are just looking to get signed for this year, and then when the cap goes back up, they'll figure it out. So there'll be some minimum deal signed for I think decent players, and I think the rest is just going to be draft. We're just not going to have.
Well, I know Hunter Henry didn't get tagged, so he's going to be a free agent. That's a pretty decent.
You got Trout.
He might be expensive, if you bring him in at a minimum for 1 year and then let him go elsewhere after, give Trout another year to develop.
I think a guy like that is just going to command a little more. I mean, some teams do have some money to spend.
What about Jimmy Graham coming back
on a tight end?
No, there you go.
Coming back in a bargain deal.
Yeah, bring back Jimmy.
I've heard talk of that. I don't know if it's just idiots on Saints Twitter, but yeah. Probably. I've seen that.
I'm not in love with that, but
I mean, as your 2B to Troutman's, I mean, you got to say they want Troutman to be the guy next year.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you think Jimmy Graham's ego is going to let that be a thing and not have a locker room issue over?
He'd come in kind of like in that specialist role. I mean, I think he's been humbled the last several years with injury and lower production. He knows what he is now, and it would be nice for him to come back and just fill that strictly receiving tight end role, you know, in a limited fashion. Kind of like when Gronk was always banged up and you didn't really see Gronk but a couple plays a game or certain games of the year. I'd like to see him come back and do that. I think he can be good in short bursts.
Yeah. I mean, like
in a pinch, I mean,
as long as he doesn't have to go over the middle.
Right.
as long as he comes back and you know,
if he can get over us treating him like a tight end and not a receiver, then he should be fine.
He comes back if we get Russell Wilson. They can read.
Yeah, like Parker Cole's done. Like, let Jimmy be your red zone threat or something.
Or just look, he comes in. He's not what he was with the Saints, but yeah, he gives you a few TDs a year on good matchups. You know, he just helps out your offense when he can, and you sign him for a minimum deal.
Special packages,
kind of like a Hill, but can't block.
A Graham.
Josh Hill.
But so let's get back into Marcus Williams. This was kind of
get into that. I'm gonna go grab another Truly.
a big deal because we had figured it would come down to Williams and or Hendrickson. We couldn't keep both of them.
I think Williams was the right move. Hendrickson's gone, obviously. I say that Williams is the right move. I don't know. I'm not a big Williams fan. I know he's like the number two safety in the league, and he's good. But I'm just not. I just have that Minnesota game just has just a sour taste, and I know he's done a lot since then, but I just cannot get that image out of my head. Every time his name gets brought up on Twitter, that's all you see is people tweeting that damn gif of freaking Stephon Diggs catching that ball, and you know.
Okay, I don't need to be brought up again. Thanks, Scott.
It pisses me off every time I see it.
I think that just the nature of Marcus Williams' position is. Yeah, he was so quietly the number two ranked guy at his position last year. Like, I remember when I first heard that stat, and you're like, oh, really? Because what he does when he's doing well, it's low key. You're not going to hear about a whole lot. You're not going to hear his name a whole lot. Part of his job is not, except for on the tackle sheet, you know. And yeah, when he makes a mistake, it's going to be very, very, you know, he has that prominent mistake that will tarnish people's opinion of him. But once you remove that from your memory, you go, this guy's the second best player at his position in the league as he graded out last year. Fantastic. We need to keep him. Yeah, him over Hendrickson, absolutely.
He's so much more than that one play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like Gunn said, a lot of the good plays.
One goat.
But it is interesting because while I do agree with that, it's crazy because on defense, you're like, pass rush is the most important thing. You get a pass rush, the rest of your defense is better. And the question with Hendrickson is, you know, he did this for 1 year. Is this who he is? Can you bank on him repeating this again? Because that's what you're going to be paying for. Because pass rush is so important, he's going to get a shit ton of money.
Scheme, accumulation of other talent, you have to question like how much of it was him and how much of it was those other things.
I mean, he had, yeah, you know, having the interior lineman that the Saints had, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know that he does that well on another team. It kind of reminds me of like when every now and then you'll get a quarterback that'll come in and play like have a really good season in his last year on his contract, and then it'll go somewhere else and be crap. Like kind of like what was the guy like Castle when he had that one good year in New England, and then he got all that money to go to Kansas City the next year and he sucked, you know, kind of like that, where I mean, he's a talented football player, obviously, but I don't think he's going to be as good as he was this year.
Look, I hope he does well. I just
best of luck as long as it's not against us. I don't care.
And it's also the idea of, well, the Saints already have a sunk cost into Davenport, so he's got to get the reps. They have to make it work. This is the last year for Davenport to make it work. So you weigh that option, and you realize if you lose Williams, then what do you have at safety? You have Jenkins and CD.
Yeah. Williams. Yep. And Vincent Burke has arrived on the scene. He says, hey, ho. So
hey, yo. Oh.
Survey time.
I do think they may go like J.C. Horn in the first round as a possibility.
Are we mock drafting now?
No, I'm just saying like to help fill that cornerback, you know, position. You know, P. Rob's getting long in the tooth.
Marcus Cole says draft Bo Callahan.
Callahan Auto Parts out of Sandusky, Ohio.
I can get a good look at a bull's ass by sticking my T-bone up there, but rather take the butcher word for it.
I mean, I don't mind drafting a corner, but it's going to come down to do they keep Janoris Jenkins and Lattimore? You know, do they bring back Lattimore and Jenkins?
Yes, and yes.
Because if they don't, then I'd say, yeah, cornerback's a priority.
So I don't know whether it was Diana Rossini or Adam Schefter tweeted today something about, and not that they're always right, but Lattimore being a priority for the Saints. Even the Saints are saying, like, it's no secret. We're going to do what it takes to keep Lattimore.
Him and Ramchek.
Which, I mean you have to. Here's the question. What if keeping Lattimore and Ramchek means losing even Winston and just having to draft a quarterback and go with like a roll of the dice?
They're not going to lose Winston because of that.
I would do it.
Keeping the team as is, minus right. Who they cut. What if you can't afford Winston? What are you left with?
Because of that.
What if you might play the game?
You bring in Fitzmagic. Keep bringing Fitz magic.
Yeah. So I guess what Scott's saying is I'd rather lose Ramczyk and Lattimore in order.
It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is signing them too will not affect them signing Jamin.
But what if it did?
And it won't.
Would you do it?
I live in reality, Jeff. It won't.
What? You're on the wrong show. Living in reality,
Mister. You don't want to do mock drafts, but you want to do mock
scenarios. Yes, agency. I want to do mock.
Yeah, I mean
spreadsheets.
What?
Mock Mickey Loomis. Mock GM.
Then you go and trade for Russell Wilson and get him. There's your answer.
Okay. So how about that then? What do you believe is the likelihood that the Saints would actually go after Russell Wilson? Because I don't know. I know last week we talked ourselves out of it, but I did read something today that suggested.
I think that right?
Jason says
they have. I think they have explored it. I think they've probably called Seattle and to see what they want. I think maybe they're even still trying to put something together to propose to them. But I don't think it happens.
It'd be so amazing, but I don't think we have enough to get them. I don't think we have what they want,
not
what
they're
they need.
Need. I mean,
not what they need.
Do we have
what we're willing
round?
To give up?
Do we have a first round pick this year?
Yeah.
28th. Okay. 28th pick. Yeah.
We haven't traded that yet.
Right. Goodell has
the seventh
taken
round
it
we
yet.
Don't have, and it hasn't been right. And the first round hasn't been taken yet.
Well, and there's the possibility the NFL is going to fuck us and take more picks. We don't know yet.
Yep. Right. Vincent Burke. I just realized we have some comments that I forgot to scroll down and see. So Vincent Burke did ask, did I miss the QB talk? No, not really. Chris Farmer, we will get Wilson. Chris Farmer, in my opinion. Oh, okay. And Vincent Burke says, the Bears fans think they're getting him. Truth is, we're both delusional. I kind of agree. I think Russell Wilson ends up in Seattle again next year.
I think he's leaving now, Seattle.
I think he'll leave Seattle, but I don't
want
think
too much
we'll
for him
leave nobody... until... after this season.
With Dallas signing, well, yeah. So with Dallas signing Dak, I think his chances of leaving Seattle are over. And speaking of the Dak, so this goes back into the conversation we're talking about with possibly Dave Romero's going to post on Twitter soon. But so we'll tease it where a little conversation we all had in our podcast WhatsApp between us all was with the price tag on Dak. What is it, 128 million, 124? 128 million?
The guarantee.
Yeah. Something like that. Are we getting to this? And with this year's salary cap, one, we're kind of convinced that between Zeke and Dak, that's pretty much all Dallas is going to have. So they're out. They're going to win a few games, but they're not going to be true contenders because they're not going to be able to pay for a team around them. So would you sell out for an elite quarterback or a top tier quarterback and not have enough money to buy a team to support him? Or would you rather spend most of your money on a team with a better than average quarterback?
Option B.
You take the better than average, the Winston and the big team. So you're then saying that you want the Ramczyk, the Lattimore, Marcus Williams, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Tre'Quan Smith,
Troutman. Tre'Quan in there.
I don't know. I'm trying to throw some offense. I was just naming a bunch of defensive
Michael
players.
Thomas,
I'm trying to throw some,
Michael,
yeah,
Thomas.
Michael Thomas.
Right.
Alvin
Kamara. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Kamara. Yeah,
those are
those aren't the first two guys you go to.
I was on a defensive role and then everybody who was I got confused. Yeah, Thomas, Kamara. I think you got to be able to pay for a few extra linemen. I'm not entirely confident in our offensive line as it is.
Yeah, but y'all didn't want to draft one in the first round.
I think I do.
Not in the first round.
I actually, if you roll the tapes back, I think I did say offensive lineman when you asked the question last week, Jason.
Okay. We definitely need one in some round of the draft, 100%.
Vincent Burke says, name the last better than average quarterback to win the Super Bowl.
Tom Brady?
Trent Dilfer?
No.
No, he was not better than average.
Eli Manning.
You could say he was, yeah, that's better than average.
He did it twice.
Big Dick Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Nick Foles.
I would actually say he's not better than average. He's just average, I'd say, at this point.
Well,
like,
then
he had one good year.
Good,
so he might not even be better than average.
Then we should be good.
But we did run the numbers, actually. And I think if you're going with that kind of a great versus better than average or whatever, it was, I think, what was it, 15 of the last 20 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks could be considered great. Unless y'all disagree with that, my own analysis. So let's see. Tom Brady, great. Pat Mahomes, great. Tom Brady. Big Dick Nick was not one. Tom Brady. Peyton Manning with Denver, I would put him as like a better than average good. I wouldn't put that as a great Peyton Manning. He wasn't great that year.
He was pretty bad that season.
Yeah.
But also what you're going to see as you go down this list is you're going to see great quarterbacks that took one for the team and had already made hundreds of millions of dollars in their careers and said, I'm going to take we've got a window here. I'm going to take a team-friendly contract to go and sign more talent. Peyton Manning did that. Tom Brady was notorious for that. Drew Brees has been notorious for that, about going, okay. I mean, Drew Brees, all these $25 million deals he's been doing every year. You don't think he was a $35 million a year quarterback during all these $25 million?
These last couple, if he wanted to stretch it, some team could have given him 30. But during his prime, and I get it, he had to set the mark for other QBs in the league. But when the Saints won the Super Bowl, he was on a very team-friendly deal.
Right,
now,
right.
At the time, we were risking a lot. It was the – what was it? The
But that's a neat – that is an interesting point, Gunn, because, right, whether or not the quarterback was great or not when he played – the question is how much he was how much of the pie he was eating.
A lot of times those quarterbacks will go and say, I'm going to scale it back because I want more talent around me.
I saw a tweet today, kind of like what Gunn was saying, where it was like, Tom Brady, it said like Tom Brady signs team friendly deal, wins Super Bowl. Dak Prescott signs whatever his contract is. And then ask, how does Brady keep doing it? How does he keep winning Super Bowls?
Because he's paying the team.
Because he has a wife who's worth $400 million. That helps.
So Vincent Burke wants to know, could we get a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers who wants one last crack in like a Tom Brady and Tampa scenario? Like, okay, you want to play this game, Tampa? We can too. We'll go grab a team-friendly Aaron Rodgers. And...
in a few years when he's 40.
Right.
Maybe that's what he's talking about.
I think
he can leave Green Bay. I mean,
shit, Tom Brady's trying to get OBJ over there in Tampa. Like, he's turning into the NBA where he's trying to get all these players to come down there.
Who's he recruiting right now?
Beckham.
Yeah.
Beckham. He's trying to get Tampa to trade for him, you know?
Whatever.
They can probably afford it.
Happen in our division.
Everything happens in our division. Everything happens in our division. And our fucking conference. It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I mean, if you look at the quarterback, it's big name, big performing quarterbacks. You know, basically 15 out of the last 20, but they won the years that they won if they did because they had a good team surrounding them as well. So yes, you have to be able to pay that team. That's why, like, Dak, great quarterback, fine, I'll give him that, you know, good, great, whatever. But the fact that he's going to take two-thirds of the cap or whatever, one half of the cap, and Zeke's taking the other half, they're not going to have a line. They're not going to have talented players around them, which is great. As a Saints fan, I don't, you know. But it's almost like maybe you can predict who's going to win the Super Bowl aside from who the NFL wants, and which great quarterback is taking a team friendly deal and start stacking a team around him. In which case, Tampa Bay leading candidate, if they end up getting like an Odell and they start playing that whole NBA type style of team building.
I mean, look, you still need, you need good coaching in place, and you need a good scouting department that can replenish your talent with cheap labor from the draft. Now, a lot of these Super Bowl winners, you know, they had them when the quarterbacks were still on their rookie deals. They hadn't signed the big deal yet. So that's a huge part of it. But I mean, you have to be able to develop the rest of your team. Like it's okay. Like I you know, I do think you need a legit franchise quarterback, a good top eight, top 10 quarterback to have a realistic shot at winning the Super Bowl every year. You need a guy like that.
That's proven. There are edge cases and anomalies like your Trent Dilfers or your
right. You happen to create the best defense in the history of football.
Were with less than stellar.
Joe Flacco.
And they Baltimore won their two Super Bowls, Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco.
Flacco did play pretty well in that playoffs.
And Parker Cole, you get out of here with that idea.
Yes, you can leave right now.
Pull a reverse Bobby Hebert and get
Matt
Ryan.
Fuck that.
Oof.
You shut your mouth, boy.
What if we trade them Bobby Hebert for Matt Ryan? What if we send Bobby Hebert to go be a broadcaster in Atlanta again?
Okay,
and they give – I'd be for that. See, that's a mock draft.
What's his name?
Mock trade. We can.
That's a good mock draft scenario.
What's his name that went over there from the Saints? That's running the show now.
Fontenot.
Yeah. Maybe he can.
He wants to recreate the Saints culture, so he wants to trade for Bobby Hebert.
Yeah. The first thing we need to do is get our radio personality back.
We need a father of the Falcon Nation.
I could say something so ugly, but I'm not going to.
Vincent Burke wants to is asking: is there a gem hiding late in the first round at quarterback this year that Loomis might be eyeing? Any dark horses you guys know of?
I mean, you have your top four, and then you have Mac Jones, which I don't want Mac Jones. And then you have
Mac Jones.
I don't want Mac Jones. And then you have guys like Trask. I mean, Kellen Mond.
Why don't you want Mac Jones, Jason?
An Alabama quarterback has never been successful in the NFL under Nick Saban.
Not since Joe Namath.
Which, to my recollection, Nick Saban was not involved in Joe Namath.
But Joe Namath was the last successful quarterback to Alabama.
From Alabama?
Yeah. That's a long time.
You didn't have a good one either for a long time.
Right? I just think his stats look great because he's playing with the best collection of NFL talent in college football.
The question is Jones, is he a product of Nick Saban's system or is he just good on his own?
From what I've heard, I mean, like from what he did at the Senior Bowl, just the whole week in practice and in the game, people were very impressed by him, by his knowledge of the game. He's very cerebral. You know, he did talk to the Saints. He knows football. He knows the game.
I mean, here's the thing. If he's on the board by the time the Saints are there,
28, oof.
I wouldn't be mad if they took him. In a situation that we're in right now where we don't know if we have our next franchise quarterback yet, you grab a guy like that and you vet it out. If it doesn't work out, you lost nothing.
What if you've signed Jameis to a 3-year contract?
It's fine. Then you sign Mac Jones to a 3-year contract with him as well.
So you still draft Mac Jones, even if Wow.
You don't know what Jameis has.
I mean, you don't know what you have.
Right, but if you sign Jameis for, let's say, 3 years, $60 million, like you've committed to him, if I'm going to take a chance, I don't want fucking Mac Jones. If you're drafting Jameis and you're still able to keep the team around you, then you need a player that can contribute right away, not a quarterback that's going to sit on the bench. If you commit to Jameis, then I'm not drafting a quarterback in the first round this year.
Why?
Are you
worried about Jameis's ego?
No, because I want other talent on the rest of the team. I want another offensive lineman. I want a linebacker. I want a receiver. We were
tricked and seduced by Danny Werfel. Don't let Mac Jones do it too.
Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Michael Gagliano. So changing it a little bit. Do the Saints try to make a move for Ertz or Hunter Henry? This is coming from Michael Gagliano.
I mentioned Hunter Henry a little while ago. I don't know. The price tag might be too high, just depending on what our cap situation is. Ertz, I don't think, is a free agent. We'd have to trade for him.
No, we'd have to trade for him. Andy's got a decent salary, so I just don't see.
Yeah,
if we're banking on Troutman, we're not going to pay a guy.
Yeah. I could see if we can get Hunter Henry for a cheap price, then say go for it. But I don't know what kind of money he's going to demand.
And I guess going back to that whole draft Jones situation, Jason, if you sign Winston and you still need a lineman, I forgot, you still do also need a tight end. And if you're
linebacker,
not going to get that tight end,
wide receiver,
and a linebacker and a receiver, you need too much and you have fewer picks to get them in.
Do you need a receiver?
I always need a receiver, man.
I mean, we don't know. Even if we keep Sanders, it's only going to be for one more year. And you got Traquan and Michael Thomas. We need somebody. You got
Traquan, Michael Thomas, Callaway came on. You got
Callaway did. Yeah, you're right. Oh, and Speed Demon. What's his name?
Yeah, the little guy.
Okay. Hill. Still, it's
what's his name? Holy shit.
Hill.
Really?
Deontay Harris.
Deontay Harris. Yes.
So, some of Josh.
Terrence Rolls Jr.
You said Josh Hill. I was thinking Speed Demon.
And you also got to figure, who was your leading reception leader this year?
Kamara.
Boom.
Okay. Look.
What about it?
Maybe not in the first round, but, you know, if they have to cut Sanders.
But what's this I hear about people? Yeah. Like, what's this about? Like, there's a possibility we don't have Emmanuel about Sanders next year.
It's talking about either trade. He's a trade possibility. Him, Latavius Murray.
Prison. I'd rather hold on to Murray, but I mean, I'm just trying to figure Murray, out like Murray, how are the Saints going to keep?
I'll be honest,
trimming money.
Murray. All right, so I'd rather lose Murray than Sanders, because under Sean Payton's regime, we've never had a problem with finding running backs, and they just extended Montgomery and Washington.
And Washington. So Murray is
probably the first one that you could kind of dangle out there and see, maybe keep saying, but we are in desperate need of receiver. I think last year with Michael Thomas out, man, and then when Harris got hurt
and Sanders missed the game with really COVID, skimpy. Remember that?
And Sanders, yeah, we got skimpy on
Callaway receiver. Was our savior for a game,
yeah. So
I don't think we're desperate on receiver. You also have Taysom that can catch. I mean, I don't think you're desperate,
I don't know where you are. I don't know that you're desperate, but I think you definitely need to look at that position in the draft.
Maybe later rounds.
Fensenberg, somebody out there is going to overvalue Lattimore. Time to move on him is now. Yeah, we agree. I think, Vincent, you missed that part of it where we all agreed that the first next thing you got to do is lock down Lattimore.
No, he says time to move
He's
him.
Saying like, we can like, trade on.
Him. Like you could trade him.
Yeah. Oh,
he's still technically under contract this year.
I read what I wanted to see. The time to move on him is now. Like sign him. No, Vincent. We all voted to keep him.
That's the time to move him is now.
Now
no on there.
Nope.
You move along, meow.
Although if they did do it, I could see why. I mean, I don't like it, but I could see why. But I think you basically destroy your secondary.
Then it comes back to holy shit, we need to draft a cornerback in round one.
Right. And right now we have other needs. I like how at the beginning of the podcast we were talking about how, man, if you could just keep this team as is, everything's great. We don't need any problems. So we're like, well, we do have a hole at the offensive line, and we do have need a backup for another receiver. And if we lose Murray, what are we gonna do about running back?
Well, I think if you can keep the defense whole, I guess is kind of where I was going with it.
And when we've been talking about high priority, unrestricted and restricted free agents, all of the names that we brought up, with the exception of quarterback, all of the big question marks and things that we need to lock down that we mentioned have been on defense.
Yeah, I mean, you got to lock down Ramchek and Lattimore. You'd like to get Kwan, but you don't. You'd like to get Kwan if you can, but Ramchek and Lattimore are the priorities.
That would be pretty amazing if you can get a deal done with Ramchek, Lattimore, and
Kwan or Sanders?
No. And Williams, Marcus Williams. Because I know we franchised them, but you got to think they're working on a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. If we get a deal, if we work out a deal with him, could we then use the tag on somebody else?
I don't think it works like that.
That's it. We've done, yeah. We played our
But you're not obligated under the $10 or $11 million tag number.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just to protect him from nobody else can grab him.
Right. Right.
Kind of moving off the
and maybe they did that. Sorry, maybe they did that because they know they're close to a deal everywhere else, and they weren't close to a deal on him. And maybe tomorrow by the time this podcast is published, it's all resolved, and we're
well. I mean, the other two, Ramchek and Lattimore, are under contract regardless of what happens this year. So it doesn't matter. If we don't get a deal done, they're still going to play.
So they would need to renegotiate those two.
Right. We want to extend them so they're locked up for the next.
And we can lower the cap hit this year, and then next year when all the new TV money comes in and the fan revenue comes in.
I'm sorry, but I just feel like Lattimore is home team friendly, that he's going to do what he needs to do.
Lost your mind.
Lattimore's a leader. This is his defense, man. This is his defense. He's the one who started all the celebrations that the NFL does now. Like the whole take team picture thing, that was Lattimore's idea, man. I have no proof of that. I just think the first time I saw him do it was when he intercepted the ball or something. I don't know. I just feel like, man, he's got a certain ownership of this defense. Why would he walk away from it?
Money.
Hey, I'm sorry, but I do not think there are very many NFL players who are doing this for the money.
not named Dak Prescott.
That's a wise statement, Jeff.
They're in it for the brain injury, not the brain.
Right.
They're in it for the CTE.
They want the CTE.
All right. For those of you watching on the live stream, this is your last chance for hypothetical questions. I really like how this kind of turned into the listeners, viewers asking the questions, and we just respond to them. We would do a show just that. That's where it's just a Q&A. In the meantime, we are at time here, so I'm going to call for final thoughts.
I was just going to say Zach Streif's out of the booth now and in the coaching.
Yeah. Did we not talk about that last week?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. So there's a good final thought. I like the move. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I think he's better coaching, even though I don't know what he's like as a coach.
Well, you know, they said that a lot of times after practice, he'll go and work with some of the younger guys. So I think it's something that he likes doing. Because, I mean, when you're doing that, you're not getting paid for it. You're spending your own free time doing that to try to help the team and get them better. So I think that I think he has the knowledge, and I think studying under the offensive line coach that we have now, he can kind of learn how to convey the knowledge to other players.
Like, now, make a change at offensive line coach this year? Did they move a few assistants around and shuffling around? I need to look that up maybe for next week.
I don't think so, but
they shuffled a few guys around and they lost a couple. Like, they lost Campbell, they lost Aaron Glenn.
Yeah. But I love the move. I think Zach Streif is going to be one of those guys who kind of, like, when he's 60 something years old or whatever, he's Ring of Honor material because he's committed himself to, hear me out, not that just for his play, but for his commitment to the team. You got a player, radio broadcast, coach, man of the city.
He's only going to be the coach as long as Sean Payton's the head coach.
What if one day Zach Streif is the head coach?
Oh my god,
he might be.
What if Thomas Morstead is? What if Thomas Morstead's the head coach and we get him to come back on the Dome Patrol podcast again
as the head coach?
Yeah, play the long game, dude.
He could be a player coach, punt and
pitch. Ooh, that's good. That's true.
And it looks like the coach is sending himself in.
Marcus Colson is the receiver.
Unprecedented move in sports history.
They'd never go for it on fourth and inches. They punt every time.
He's calling his own onside kick.
They're punting on. Kickoff. Wait, the Saints are punting on second down?
Every kickoff is ambush.
You know, he had some games where he didn't get to punt, so like he'll said second down, they'll go, it's like fourth quarter, we're down by one, we're driving at second down, I haven't punted yet, I gotta get in.
Well, he'll sign himself
to more of these Drew Brees no
he'll
punt
sign
games.
Himself to a very incentive laden contract.
Incentive laden. Right. He'll be earning $128 million
per punt.
Right.
All right. So who do you think takes Streif's spot in the booth?
Ooh,
I know who I want.
I'm hearing Mike Haas is probably the lead candidate.
Gunn, who you got?
I'm gonna send him an audition. I'm gonna send him some clips from taking the over. See what happens.
I tell you what. Well, I would love to hear somebody like take a game off of YouTube or something, a replay, and like call some plays and see if any of us could do it. I don't think I could do it.
I can do it.
I think I'd be terrible at it, but I think it would be fun to try. We should do that one day.
Well, people, and I'm not joking, people practice on Madden.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'll send in audition tapes from watching Madden and commenting on that.
Yeah.
That's how Tony Romo got his job. They said Tony Romo got his job by calling.
Probably how Breeze is practicing right now.
Yeah. I would.
Yeah.
But I hear Mike Haas. I'd like
Mike Haas.
I like Todd Graffinini.
Graffinini could be it.
I do like the idea of him bringing in an actual sports media personality versus a player.
They could give it to Joe Myers. I mean, I know he does the Pelicans TV. They could toss it to the Saints game.
All right, Vincent Burke asked a question. Simple question. Do we have one more big splash in us free agency-wise? Yes or no?
No. No.
Nope.
I don't think so. I think he just wants the nope. Thank you.
Thank you.
To play
all minimum. Come again.
That's right. No, not come again. Wrong show.
Yep, that is not right.
All right, Jason, final thoughts? Anything?
I feel like I had something earlier and I forgot it. So,
all right, Gunn, final thoughts?
If you live in the New Orleans metro area and you want to see some alligators, you should go to Jean Lafitte National Park and walk through the swamp on the trail.
You saw like 8 alligators.
I saw 14. I saw 14 alligators.
Any of them like the same alligator multiple times?
No, we made sure they were all different alligators. we named them along the way. But you should do it. Check it out, man. Get outside, do some stuff in the fresh air. A lot of people wearing masks in the woods threw me off. Whatever. We don't do that in Mississippi. But go do that. I mean, it just reopened, and it's off Barataria.
Okay. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion, which is a show that we do during the Saints season after each game, the Instant Reaction Show. We also have the Dome Patrol Podcast, which is this one, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, Dome Patrol UK, BS and Beer Media, Taking the Over, and Tiger_Podcast. Follow us on Facebook to watch live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast if you haven't done so already. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, donkey legs.
Good night.
Good night, Nation.
Later.
So let the chorus roll.